I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Oh, shit, what up? Here come them boys!
We're white.
We are.
We are.
We're so white, you wouldn't believe. We're like a Daz Wash.
That's my name.
Anyway.
It says on my birth certificate. Here's something I saw that was amazing. And I saw people talking about this on Twitter, actually. The guy who took a bath in hot sauce in this viral video, here's why he could have died.
Now, I didn't actually watch the video. I saw the thing of the... I saw the guy's face and thought, you know what?
I don't need to see this.
I think I've seen everything I need to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, God, I can see the picture there. It looks like blood. I mean, the poor bastard, it looks like that scene in Carrie.
Yes.
And then the remake of Carrie. He's in pain. He's covered in red horror juice. And nothing good is happening to anyone in that frame of the camera there. I can see you're tapping furiously with your thumbs there. You're thumbing away.
Yeah, because there's a GIF that goes with this story.
GIF or GIF, John?
I say GIF.
I say GIF as well. I found out recently that RuPaul says GIF. And I found myself thinking, oh, bless. You've read somewhere that it's supposed to be GIF, even though everyone says GIF. Oh, dear. Oh, yeah. I can't believe he thought it was a good idea, firstly, to get into a bath of hot sauce, and secondly, to get his head under.
Yes.
Because as anyone who's ever chopped up chilies can tell you, you have a little lapse of concentration, you get maybe a loose eyelash or something, you have a bit of a rub, and then you're in tears for half an hour.
The thing that worries me about this guy getting in a bath of hot sauce...
is that he's an idiot that needs closer supervision.
That as well.
Yeah.
But... because I've not seen the video, I don't know whether it shows him getting into the bath or not.
Mm.
So at the moment, I've got like a Schrodinger's cat situation regarding whether or not he's wearing like swimming trunks.
I don't think it'll matter, honestly, because that stuff will get through.
Yeah,
he's going to have some very, very hot, spicy fluid around his junk.
This guy
his bollocks are ruined.
He's a UK-based YouTuber, and his name is Gary. Will be laughing at this. Kamray Kandar.
Kamray Kandar.
CEMRE.
Okay.
He's built a whole shtick around taking various kinds of edible baths, so melted chocolate, Oreos, beer.
Pleasant enough.
What have you. But a nearly 5-minute video in a bath of hot sauce and hot peppers, now he's got our attention. This is what it says on the article.
Why does he have our attention? Why should we be giving this person attention? That's a whole other thing. Carry on.
They continue. They say, wait, is this for real? Or is this just some tame red-tinged fluid he's soaking in? We felt the pain of accidentally rubbing our eyes after dicing a hot pepper, so completely submerging in a tub of spicy sauce is a pretty frightening idea, and initially we had our doubts.
Mm.
From the second Kandar eases himself into the bath, he's groaning and exclaiming, oh my God, yeah, nice acting. Then he starts eating a hot pepper that's been marinating in the bath and starts plunging into the angry red fluid. Intense. And sure, fun to watch. I dispute that.
Well, we don't know at this point.
We don't know.
Neither one of us actually watched it.
Yeah. But
we'll actually post a video on the Tumblr.
Maybe we will, but oh dear God, we're not convinced. Until he comes out of the bath and his skin looks blotchy and burned, and the guy does appear to be in real pain. Now we're kind of buying it. Needless to say, we've never soaked our entire body in hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what the experts say actually happens if you do. Chili peppers sting our skin because they contain
capsicum.
Capsicum, yes, thank you very much.
I've watched Man vs. Food.
That's all right then. Capsicum causes our nerves to fire and release a signal called substance P that makes us experience burning. says Dr. Joshua Zeichner. A board
certified, well with that one.
I did, thank you very much. A board certified dermatologist and assistant professor in the dermatology department.
So I'm just thinking now of Scrubs, where that one doctor is a dermatologist. And it's everyone takes a piss out of him for having such a pointless career. And that one time the JD says, I need a dermatologist, stat! And he's like, my time to shine! And all he wants it for is his money. Scrubs is very good.
I miss Scrubs.
Yeah.
I really need to finish watching it.
You do, you really
do. I do. At one point, to further the physical torture, Kandor eats a pepper and submerges his face in the bath of hot sauce. The oil
so
of hot
stupid.
I know. The oil of hot peppers in small quantities can be painful or damaging, but in this inescapable quantity, it can permanently burn mucous membranes on the outside of the body.
Yes.
Eyes, lining of the rectum and penis.
Yes.
Causing swelling and scarring. The amount of hot sauce vapours in the air from this kind of stunt could also get into the lungs whilst trying to breathe, causing damage and asthmatic-type reaction, with airways closing, leading to a life-or-death emergency. It's amazing that...
This brought to you by the Hot Sauce Danger
Appreciation Board
Committee. If I'd known we were going to do this, I'd have thought of a funnier acronym.
Oh,
something that's spelled cock.
It's just... One of the theories that I saw spinning around on Twitter.
Why were you spinning around on Twitter, John?
I was on this twizzy chair.
Excellent. Good enough for me.
Thank you.
This was in the middle of the ongoing spate of police shooting people who are white. And somebody I follow said, good grief, white people are in so little physical danger that they have to try and just go and do stupid shit like jump in a bath of hot sauce.
Yes.
I don't understand what compels people to do things like that.
I think every now and then on Facebook I'll see videos of people running around on the edges of tall skyscrapers, you know, like dropping down suddenly to
yes.
like tiny little ledges and then hopping along. Kind of the, I just look at them thinking like, oh, part of me actually wants them to die. Which I think is part of the reason that people watch these. I think
yes.
I think that is part of the thrill. Like, oh, are we going to see someone die?
Yeah.
And then, but I'm in such tension all the way through. I mean, it's that same thing as if you're at a cliff edge and you look down. There's that nagging little thing telling you jump,
yeah,
do
yeah.
it. It's going to be awesome. And then there's a rest of you saying no, that's stupid.
No, it will be the last thing I do.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be awesome for about a minute, maybe.
Yeah.
Tops. But and I think people are trying to get the same thing. And they're kind of... Some of them are kind of wanting to see someone plummet to their doom.
Yes.
And if it actually happened, I'd feel awful about it. But I still feel like kind of like... Oh, it's going to fall.
Yeah.
It's going to fall. It's going to fall. He hasn't fallen.
Nearly time for a Darwin Award.
Mm.
I mean...
But it's that thing. It does seem to be... Mostly white people.
It does.
Doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe there is some credence. I mean, obviously it was said as a joke, but maybe there is that credence to that idea that if you aren't threatened enough, then you find ways to become threatened yourself.
I mean, do you know, it was 1,250 bottles of hot sauce that went into that.
That is so many plates of nachos... You know, they're just crying out for flavour. You know, it's a massive waste of perfectly good hot sauce for starters.
Yes.
And just a ridiculously stupid idea for finishers, you know.
I've not seen anyone say how he is after having done that.
Hmm.
But I hope he's infertile.
Well, yeah, at least he's not going to have any kind of progeny who are going to try the same thing.
No.
or anyone who's going to try and sue the Tabasco company for not putting warnings on the bottle saying, do not bathe in our product.
Have you given our son a bath?
Yes. Technically. Let's talk beer before we do anything else.
Beer, we are.
What we've done here, we've actually opened up some fresh beers and neither one of us is actually taking a sample of them yet.
No.
No, so do you want to do yours first, John?
Certainly. I have, from the Waldtop Yorkshire Brewery, We have a... I don't know if I said it like that. We have a marmalade porter. Overtones of bitter orange, coffee and chocolate, which is a wonderful combination.
Mm.
Rich, dark, sweet and malty. So let's see what this tastes
give
like.
I was drinking some Wold Top earlier today at the Bridge Street Ale House. It was one of the red ales and it was very, very tasty indeed. So I'll be interested to see what John thinks of the porter.
That is really nice.
Mm.
Mm. Very good. Very much recommended. It's a bit like having a liquid Terry's chocolate orange.
Oh. See, I've also bought myself a bottle of that to take home with me later. I think I'm looking forward to trying that. Right, I have a beer from Flying Dog Brewery, based in America. I've heard their name many, many times, but never actually had any of their beer. Mm. So I've got the seasonally appropriate Dogtoberfest.
Yes.
So I'm going to give that a bit of a... It's got a little thing on the back saying, there is sauerkraut in my lederhosen. I repeat, there is sauerkraut in my lederhosen. which we found unutterably hilarious when we were down at Hot Water Cellar earlier buying our bottles.
It's something you could have imagined being said in an episode of Hello, Hello.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mmm. Mmm, that is nice. That's very nice. It's got a lot of action on the palate.
Ooh.
Mm.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I say.
I mean, it tastes good.
It's smooth and flavoursome and very, very pleasant. I shall be enjoying that throughout this episode.
Yay!
Huzzah! Well done, Flying Dog.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Wold Top Brewery.
Huzzah, yes.
Well, it's time for a bit of paper rifflage.
Oh. Happy days.
Yeah.
Right, so I've got my riffled paper.
We should explain why we're riffling paper.
Yes, we've explained on the last two episodes.
It's been a week since we last did this, so, you know.
Yes, it's been a whole week, not just a few minutes.
So, as you remember, we were talking about our top five each albums that were released post the year 2000.
We still haven't come up with a faster way of saying this, have we?
No. Post-millennial top five.
Post-millennial top five of a possible top 100. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's five albums what we like that was released after the year 2000.
Yes.
That's basically it. I've got mine ready here now, John. I've got my piece of paper, my randomised, fully randomised. Ooh, we can hear it. Yeah. My fully randomised piece of paper. That's John's.
Yeah.
You hear the difference?
Yes.
Yeah, mine's much better. mine is Licky Lee with their album Wounded Rhymes.
And mine is Bon Iver, the self-titled album.
Bon Iver. Now, just to quickly address the pronunciation there.
Pronunciation.
Yes, that's how I pronunciate it. I looked it up. This is quite fun, actually, because I looked up the pronunciation of Licky Lee, because a lot of people were done gone say wrong. And Licky Lee is how it is supposed to be said.
A likely story.
Shut up. and I looked up Your Lad.
Yes.
And, it seems that there continues to be a big disagreement. It's generally accepted that it is Bon Iver.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the French.
Yes.
From the French, Good Winter.
Mm-hmm.
But without the H on this spelling. A lot of Americans, interestingly enough, pronounce it Bon Iver. Yeah, which I think from some... I'm trying not to generalise here. A large number of Americans seem to have a bit of a peculiar idea of how to pronounce French words.
Right.
I knew an American lady who said that she did a French accent by basically just sounding a bit nasal. Now that makes no. If you sound a bit, you need to get a bit nasal. You're getting like. You sound like Cartman.
You know. I think you sound like Uni off Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
uh, Whereas like the French, it's a bit more throaty. It's at the back. Yeah. It's at the back of the throat. It's throaty more than nasal.
Yeah.
So it just seems to me that a lot of Americans have a strange idea of how to sound French.
Just imagine
because it's bonny there. It's bonny there, not bony there.
Just imagine all these French people just watching Americans come in and just like, no, just listen to them speak. This is glorious. You wait. Don't let on, you can speak English. Just feign ignorance and just watch them struggle.
We should point out that not all Americans are ignorant of how French should sound.
No.
They're not. It's just some, it seems. And the bon iver, it just... No. Bon iver. If it is for the French. But apparently, there is a live performance where he pronounces it bon iver.
Is there?
Just to throw that cat among the pigeons. Although some people are saying he was doing it sarcastically.
So it's still a mystery,
is it? It's still a mystery. Yeah. Although we know full well that Licky Lee is Licky Lee.
Yeah.
We're not certain on the...
Bon Iver.
So what I think we should do is, if you go through the rest of the episode pronouncing it Bon Iver, I'll say it Bon Iver. We're covering all bases.
Yeah.
That'll do. Whatever. Yeah, so who wants to go first?
I believe it's your turn.
Mm. So I'm a little slug of my Dogtoberfest.
Oh, there's a slug in your Oktoberfest.
It's very pleasant. It's a delicious slug.
Yeah.
Yes. Wounded Rhymes by Licky Lee. Licky Bear. I love this album so damn much. It's the second most recent album
yes.
that I've nominated, released in 2011. Although I think the Get Some single came out in 2010.
Yes.
It's quite interesting. I was reading earlier, while I was waiting for you to turn up at the pub earlier, I was reading some of the Wikipedia entry relating specifically to this album. The background and writing bit is great. It's like, Lee spent 6 months writing the album in the Echo Park neighbourhood of Los Angeles whilst visiting the desert. Rewatching Alejandro Jodorowsky's 1973 film The Holy Mountain and listening to Alan Lomax field recordings. Damn, that girl knows how to party!
I know!
But it's very
wild.
It really feeds into what the album is like. It's a beautiful, faintly desolate pop album.
Mm.
It's proper good pop. It's there's nothing in there that's too challenging, unlike a couple of the albums that we've discussed previously that I nominated. This one is probably the least challenging.
Mm.
It's and the most immediate and the most pop.
Yeah.
But even so, there's some really interesting ideas. It's produced. I should mention the production of the album is one of the reasons why it's spectacular. And the bulk of the plaudits should go to Licky Lee herself. I mean, yes. She wrote it, she performed it, it's her album.
She is quite the auteur in that.
Very much so. But the middle one out of Peter, Bjorn and John did the actual production of the album, and he's done a great job of recreating that Phil Spector wall of sound thing. There's a lot of feeling of space and reverberation through a lot of the songs, and so some of them are quite kind of contemporary, quite modern pop songs, things like Get Some and I Follow Rivers and Youth Knows No Pain. These are very modern pop songs, but there are others like Sadness Is a Blessing or Unrequited that feel much, they would not be out of place on A Christmas Gift For You, you know, the Phil Spector produced it. But you know, the thing with Bjorn is Hitling, from I don't know how that's pronounced. I should look that up. But the thing is with the middle guy from Peter, Bjorn and John, and he's less likely to shoot you in the face. So
hey!
So yeah, he's not the original Phil Spector. He's the less murdery one.
Yeah.
So he's the He's the one you want to pick for your next album.
Will I die as a result of making it?
And there is a real bleakness to a lot of the album. I mean, the lead track, Get Some, has a faintly nihilistic feel to it. Mm. I mean, just, even the lyric just before the chorus comes in, I'm your prostitute, you go and get some.
Yes.
There's a real sense of nihilism.
Ooh, that's quite dark.
Oh, it's a little bit dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then, if you're also watching the video to I Follow Rivers, it kind of shows a black-cloaked figure chasing someone through a forest.
Yeah.
The black-cloaked figure later revealing itself to be Licky Lee. And the poor sod that she's chasing, absolutely terrified, as if she is in fact some spectre of death.
Yeah, is he barefoot in that video?
She's barefoot.
She's barefoot.
Well, she has shoes on, but cast them off because they're quite highly stacked.
Yes.
And are not good snow wear. So she's running barefoot through the snow. He might be as well, but I don't recall. But he looks terrified for the whole thing. So, like she is death at her very self.
Mm.
And that makes you appreciate the starkness of the song as well.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Sadness is a Blessing. One of my favourite tracks on the album. It initially seems bleak, but it also seems kind of almost hopeful.
Yeah.
And it's kind of accepting sadness and desolation as part of your life and becoming happy within that. It's fascinating, thematically speaking. But mostly, I love the way that she crafts the song.
Yeah.
She just knocks out these perfect pop nuggets time after time after time. And her voice is not perfect by any stretch. She's not a Christina Aguilera warbling towards the high notes and crossing all the various octaves. Yeah. She has an imperfect voice which works perfectly with the songs that she makes.
Yeah. It's her voice.
It's her voice, and it's her album, and these are her songs. This is her. This is 100% Licky Lee.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. And I'm taking it. I'm taking it all day long. It's glorious.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yes. Well, oddly enough, I actually own a copy of this.
All right.
So I wasn't unfamiliar with it when it glanced across the bows, as it were. And it's funny, I think in terms of what I prefer in production, I'm not always a fan of like a shitload of reverb.
Mm-hmm.
Because it creates, I don't know how, and I don't know why, but it just seems to create a distance between the listener and the music.
It feels deliberate
on
this album, that distance.
Well, it's interesting because
it's appropriate.
I think a lot of the stuff that I actually prefer to listen to has a relatively dry vocal, although, I mean, everything has some sort of treatment on it of some sort, because if you leave it bare, it just doesn't sound like a polished recording.
Mm.
But, most things that I tend to listen to have more of a dry vocal because it brings everything... And it's not just a vocal either, it's like everything that is played. If there's less reverb, it seems to bring the music closer to the fore. But it's a really, really good album because it's got a consistent sound.
Mm.
It is funny, isn't it, that some songs could almost have been released 30 or 40 years ago and would have fit in with...
There is a real 60s vibe to it. I mean, specifically, I think Sadness is a Blessing, which is one of the third single. And Unrequited.
Yeah.
There's the spareness to the orchestration.
Yeah.
There's none of the electronics that you'll feature on Get Some and I Follow Rivers and some of the other tracks.
Yeah.
Like You've Known No Pain.
Rich Kid Blues.
Rich Kid Blues as well. That's one of the more modern sounding ones. Yeah. But those two in particular really do sound... they could have been performed on one of the great 60s pop acts and be produced by Phil Spector.
I mean, you could almost have like a four-piece all-girl choir sort of in the background of some of these.
I think that would have worked quite lovely with Unrequited, because it at least starts off almost a cappella. I mean, it's like Lee's voice with some kind of slapped percussion. Yeah. It sounds like a hand on a knee, just setting down the rhythm. Possibly her own hand on her own knee.
Yeah, whilst recording those own vocals. Mm. I mean, I think of the tracks that I prefer, I almost hate myself for saying the singles.
This is an album where I think the singles were chosen judiciously.
Yes.
Because they are some of the more immediate tracks.
Yeah.
I particularly love I Follow Rivers.
Yeah. There's just something about the electronic sounds that are going with the music.
And it works particularly well with the production on that one as well. Because the electronic percussion has an additional hollowness to it that works brilliantly with that expansive, reverberating production.
Yeah,
and Sadness is a Blessing was a great choice for a third single as well, because it could easily have been such a maudlin song, and it isn't.
Yeah, it's a really good, solid piece of work, and some bits of it resonated with me more than others. Again, because of the distance that seems to be put between the listener and the music, it's hard to listen to something at a distance. I don't know whether that makes any sense, but it's but it is kind of how I feel about it when I'm listening to music. If it feels like there's a bit of a barrier been put between the two, then it's always a bit of a strange experience listening to it then, because you almost feel like you're not supposed to be listening to it. Like, I've made this, but I've made it far away, so you back the fuck off.
Reading actually the little bit of Wikipedia that I read out there, the circumstances of her recording it, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
She was just chilling out in the desert, watching Jodorowsky and listening to field recordings.
Yeah.
Is not a way to say to the world, come on in!
Come and listen to me!
I've got cold beers in the fridge, I've got pizza on the counter, come on, we're watching a scary movie. I know it's shit, but we'll just laugh at it.
Yeah.
It's a good laugh.
No. Instead, it's just, back off!
Yes. The velvet rope is there for a reason, peasants.
Yeah, and that's the thing. In the same way that an art gallery can have kind of a cold feel to it, this album has a sort of a cold feel to it. And
well, she's Swedish, I mean, come on.
But it does have an oddly impersonal feel, even though the songs are about quite personal things.
Yes.
There's a sort of, don't know.
It's something that I personally like quite a lot about Scandinavian pop.
Yes.
It's unique to Scandinavian pop artists.
Yes.
That there is that sparseness and impersonality. To go with what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's that feel. Even looking at ABBA, there's a certain coldness to some of their work. Obviously, there are other artists that a bit more contemporary.
Yeah.
And a bit more kind of experimental.
Yes.
Such as Mickey Lee, and such as Peter Bjorn and John. To be honest, I mean, they like to play around a bit, and they sometimes have a bit of a cold feel to them, but it's something that's fascinating about. There's always a sadness to Scandinavian pop that you don't always get with other nations and their popular music.
Yeah, because
even when they're trying to sound happy, there is a sadness.
The location actually kind of really feeds into.
It seems that way. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that can create a bit of a disconnect.
Yeah.
Just the maudlin nature of it.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that doesn't sound like me raising complaints about it, because they aren't actually complaints. They're more just observations about an album that I enjoyed listening to.
I like it. I like observation.
I can see that.
Twat. Let's do your album then, John.
Right then.
Let's do your Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
Thing.
I don't even believe. I think it actually is Bon Iver, but I'm gonna stick to saying Bon Iver.
It's just, yeah. It's a really strange album.
Yes.
Because, well, for one thing, lyrically, it feels like stream of consciousness poetry. So that if you're looking for some sort of meaning in the lyrics, you're quite unlikely to find it. And so it makes me feel like the meaning is in the music and not so much the words.
Mm.
So this came out in 2011. I'm amazed, actually, how long ago that came out now.
Mm.
I bought a copy of this album in Jumbo Records,
mm-hmm.
which is a really nice indie shop. Really recommend anyone goes in there. They're really helpful. And the guy in the shop, actually, he had... there was a special edition of the album that I didn't buy, but somebody had left behind the special disc, the extra disc, which was a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy from Jumbo Records actually posted that onto me after I left.
Hmm.
He sent me a copy of this bonus disc.
Lovely chap.
And the DVD is a series of video interpretations of songs from the album. So the soundtrack is the album from start to finish, as it is on the CD. But there's a video accompaniment.
And Super Furry Animals did that with a couple of their albums, Ring Around the World.
Okay.
And Phantom Power. It's more that they released a video for each track.
Yeah.
And they did DVD releases of the two albums, so you just go again. You get the whole album with visuals for each individual track. So I don't know if that's the same thing with that, or it was just more of like a film. Within which the soundtrack was the entire album.
No, it did feel like a video. A video was done for each song, and they weren't strictly related, but they were like visual collages of some sort, or you know, it made for a really surreal watch. So I actually watched the DVD before having listened to the album on its own. But there's just an odd, you kind of pick up the feel of the song from the music and the tone of his voice, and maybe one or two lyrics just hit home over the course of each song. But you're still left with a feeling of, do I know what this song is about? or have I just heard a lyric that really seemed to resonate with me now as I'm going through a thing that I'm going through, for example? Yeah. It's a really interesting album to try and pick up on. Musically, it's just such a lot of fun to listen to because there's a lot of stuff going on in different bits that just sound like a lot of fun. Like I love the opening track, which is actually two tracks. It opens with Perth. The guitar pattern for the opening of this album has a slightly Celtic feel to it.
I found the opening very interesting because I did you get the first Bon Iver album?
No, I didn't.
I did. I got when I was part of the Rough Trade Album Club. I got Forever Ago.
Yeah,
which I thought was a very, very pleasant album. I enjoyed it in kind of the same way that you'll enjoy a nap at the weekend.
Yeah.
In that I felt very happy at the end of it. I felt I had a lovely time.
You felt rested.
But I couldn't remember an awful lot of it.
Yes.
And then I was listening to Perth at first and I was thinking, so this is more of the same.
Yeah.
But then a bit of welly happened. And well, he kept on happening throughout a lot of the rest of the album.
Yes.
So, yeah. I just, because you mentioned that for the first track, I'll just weigh in there, but no, carry on.
No, it's great. I mean, when that all kicks in, you have those drums just going for it. And I feel like I can hardly remember the drum pattern of it now, but it's like...
Yeah,
and it does this really interesting. It
grabs your attention at the very least. Which is something that it would say that the first album had something missing. It was something a bit more attention grabbing.
Yeah,
it's a really nice album. I mean, it came out around about the same time as that first Fleet Foxes album,
right?
And when the Grizzly Bears were eating Beckett and Est as well. And it was a good time for Hairy Man releasing pleasant albums.
Yeah,
it definitely fell into that crowd.
But I love the way that Perth then
goes into Minnesota, WI. And to an extent that whenever I've done mixtapes and I've wanted to include Perth, I've also included Minnesota, because even though you shouldn't put two songs...
You're breaking a cardinal rule of mixtaping, John.
That is true, but these feel like quintessentially one song with a track break in the middle of them. So I do justify it.
Yeah. I broke that rule once, actually, when I was making one for Alice.
Yeah.
It was on the... I did some Hamel on Trial. From the Ed's Not Dead, Hamel Comes Alive album, because the way they performed When Bobby Comes Down and Chooch Town, the two tracks fed perfectly into each other, right. And you kind of needed one to understand the other.
Yes,
because
it's
part of the two songs, it's one event looked at from two different angles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes you do need to break the
sometimes
goddamn
you need
rules,
to
John.
Break the cardinal.
Yeah.
But and then you've
just
got,
don't make a habit of it, all right?
Holocene is one where you almost feel like you know what you're singing about.
Mm.
And then Towers. I remember Towers is one that's been a favourite, I think, ever since I've listened to it.
Mm.
It's quite beautifully poetic, and it's quite evocative.
Mm.
Even though you don't know what the actual subject matter of the songs is, the lyrics evoke something, the music evokes something, and it's one of those rare things where you have to just totally disregard what might have been behind the writing of it, because it's unfathomable. Beautiful.
That's the best thing we're ever going to record, John, and you know it.
I do, yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to give a very brief opinion of
this.
Because I only actually listened to it this morning.
Yes.
I really liked it. I described the first Bon Iver, Bon Iver, Bonnie Lad. How are you, Bonnie Lad? the first Bon Iver. I don't like calling it Bon Iver.
No.
The first Bon Iver album. I always called him Bon Iver, but back when I knew him.
Mm.
Back when he was a wee lad.
Before he became a fame-hungry arsehole.
Kicking conkers up a...
dog.
Yeah. he was weird like that.
Yeah.
The first Bon Iver album I described as a nap at a weekend. This album I would describe as... the really big yawn and stretch you do after a really good nap. You know, when you stretch your arms so far, you feel them pop.
Yeah.
And you yawn so hard, you sound like a zoo. And you feel invigorated afterwards. So you feel like you've had a relaxing experience, but an invigorating one at the same time.
Mm.
And that's how this album felt to me. It's a corker, an absolute beaut. I thoroughly enjoyed it from start unto finish.
Unto finish.
Mm.
And I, there is one extra thing I really must add.
Oh Lord. Add your extra thing then, John.
One thing that really struck me is...
my fist!
There's a track, it's the third one before the end, and it's called Calgary.
Mm.
The one observation I've always wanted to make about this song, I've never had a decent enough platform to actually say it out loud, but Calgary on Bon Iver sounds like if Coldplay had been good.
Yeah.
Because there's a quality to his vocal.
I feel generally about this ilk.
Yeah.
Certainly around the time of the first album, when we had Fleet Foxes. Hairy Men Making Pleasant Music is kind of, you know, the good. You know, Coldplay from the dimension where shit went right for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, where we didn't feel the need for middle of the road blandness,
yes.
But we still wanted to have some mellow, faintly emotional, just nice music to have a little bit of a cuddle to.
Yes.
You know.
Aww.
Yeah. And I think Bon Iver definitely fills that slot much better than Coldplay ever have or will.
Yeah. I would never cuddle a man to Coldplay.
No matter how often I ask.
And on that bombshell, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Tatty bye.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Party.
I don't know why he's laughing. I didn't touch him.
I didn't just stamp on my headphone lead. The music, I nearly fell over. The music is by All Yesterday's... Attack of the Vapors. And the podcast is hosted by
Audioboom.
We're so good at this! This is such a mess!
We're so good at this!